Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, welcome in. Hour two. It's a Friday. Joy and I are off next week. Goulet 2. So we are loading up today. It is great to have you in. I don't even have plans, Joy. I don't even know what I'm going to do. About 7-8 days from now, I have a plan. I don't know what I'm going to do for a week. Nothing.
That's sometimes the best vacation. Because sometimes you plan so much that then you end up just having something to do every day and you don't really feel like you ever got any rest.
What time can you have cocktails on vacation? Even a staycation at home?
I have a mimosa with breakfast, so.
Really?
If it's like, not a staycation at home, I'm not having a mimosa, but like if I'm on vacation, I'll have a mimosa.
Is there a time zone rule or something? If you stay in your own time zone, can you have a mimosa for breakfast? Goulet just said yeah.
I don't think there's rules on that. Mimosas are so light, you know.
No kidding. You barely feel it.
Just champagne for breakfast.
So I did see a story this morning. Kevin Stefanski, the new coach of Cleveland, said about Baker Mayfield. He said he's all ball. He's totally focused. Baker Mayfield and Kevin Stefanski now very focused, no nonsense. This is the Baker I think that can succeed to certain levels in the NFL. I do think they're going to be a winning football team this year. I think they have a tremendous offensive personnel, though some injuries in camp. And so I thought, what 10 players or 10 people in the NFL to me have the most pressure this year? Who's got the most pressure in the NFL? So here's my top 10 facing the most pressure this year. Here we go.
Number 10.
I would say Cam Newton. Not a ton, but he is a star, and he had no market for him when he was on the market. There was no market for him. His former coach didn't take him. They took Kyle Allen. He's lost his last 8 starts. There are people that thought it was just injuries, why his mechanics went down, but there was a little bit of a stigma around Cam. You know, can't take criticism well, not a winning quarterback. This is important. Now, I think the personnel he has around him is nothing, but I do think there's some pressure for him to be a good leader, to show he's coachable, and by the way, to stay healthy, because he's been dinged up a lot. A lot of eyes on Cam.
Number 9.
Tom Brady. I think there's more pressure on Brady. First of all, he had his worst completion percentage year in 7 years, and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and all these tight ends, this is a stacked offense. There is, now, I'm not saying they can go 8-8, but he has got to look good because Tom didn't look good last year, and this offensive roster is absurdly talented. So I think even more than Cam, I think Tom Brady, to prove his critics wrong, because there's a lot of people on this network that are like, he's shot, it's over. I don't think it is. I thought Eli Manning was shot. I don't think Brady's shot, but there are a lot of people out there, people I respect, saying he's not the same dude. A lot of pressure on Tom.
Number 8.
Ben Roethlisberger. Okay, this is a guy that historically, we know this. He doesn't work out hard in the offseason. Russell Wilson does. Brady does. Ben can be kind of like dad in the offseason. I'm going to hang out, go to the lake, go to this and that. Also, it's time for Ben to get along with teammates, younger teammates. A lot of drama here with Ben. I think Ben comes in and struggles with another teammate. More drama. People are going to say, dude, you're 38. You're not in good shape. I think there's some pressure on Ben.
Number 7.
Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he has to win back the trust of his coach because I think his coach took the football out of his arm in the playoffs. If you go look at his completion percentage went down in the playoffs. His yards per game went down in the playoffs. His passer rating went down in the playoffs. So what that tells me is they were not building offenses around him. The coaching staff had questions about Jimmy G. So there's some pressure in the building. There were also the Brady rumor, trade rumors. There's pressure on Jimmy in the building. Does Kyle trust you in big spots? Right now, I'm not sure he does.
Number 6.
Pete Carroll. Your offensive line now is a joke. Your defenses are in the toilet. So now, you can no longer say, hey, Pete's got the defense fixed. No, it's bad. Defensive line is ranked worst in the NFL. And the offense, for years, everybody now analytically is going, God, the offense is like 1988. There's some pressure on Pete now. Pete's got all the power there. He controls the draft. He controls the personnel. And the personnel in the O&D lines is garbage. It's garbage. So this Jamal Adams trade better work.
Number five,
Aaron Rodgers. Now, less pressure this morning now that we hear Jordan Love is terrible at practice. But let's be honest about Aaron Rodgers. His completion percentage has declined in each of the last 3 years. He has worn out some teammates. You know, the McCarthy thing, story's out now. It wasn't all Mike McCarthy. Aaron's still talented, but he's got to stay healthy. He's got to get along with his coach. He's got to make this thing work. He doesn't have to help Jordan Love. That part I think is unfair. You can't ask him to worry about the evolution of Jordan Love. But I do think for Aaron, in 16 games, are we going to be like, yeah, he's not a top five guy anymore. Too prickly. Not the same guy. A lot of people, a lot of stories in The Athletic recently. Secret sauce is gone. Some pressure on him.
Number four.
Dak Prescott, I think that's obvious. He got a new coaching staff. It's a lot of economic pressure. Is Dak going to get the massive offer? It really is more because we know he's a good guy. We know he's a good leader. We know he's capable. You know he can get to the playoffs. I don't think he has to have a playoff run. But does Mike McCarthy go, okay, this is my guy for 5 years. Jerry, sign him to a fat contract. It's a kind of economic pressure for Dak Prescott.
Number three.
Derek Carr. I like him way more than his coach does. I think he's very talented. I think he's Tony Romo. Not quite as athletic, but Tony Romo. But let's be honest here. He has a losing record in 5 of 6 seasons. He's getting a reputation as won't let go of the football, will not let it rip, and Gruden likes quarterbacks who let it rip. So they brought in Marcus Mariota for a reason, to put pressure on Derek Carr. It's real.
Number two.
Adam Gase. Can you get along with one star? They didn't get along with Jamal Adams. Didn't get along with his defensive coordinator. It's not Sam Darnold. Folks, people like Sam Darnold. Everybody in the room likes Sam Darnold. Joe Douglas, the GM, did not hire Adam Gase. Joe Douglas, I know Joe Douglas. He loves Sam Darnold. Players love Sam Darnold. Owner likes Sam Darnold. Fans like Sam Darnold. Adam Gase got to win. He doesn't get along with anybody. And I got news for you. You got to – it may not be the NBA, but you got to get along with some of your stars. Like one.
Number one.
Baker Mayfield. I've been saying this now for a year. Everybody's finally saying Cleveland's talent is absurd. Folks – I can make an argument after Kansas City. They may have the best offensive talent. Tackles, receivers, running backs, tight ends. There is way too much talent here. Baker's got to win at least 9 games. I'm not asking to win 12. I'm not asking to win the division. Baker's got to get his act together. This is a stacked offense. Both tackles and their center, and they have a guard. They have 4 legit offensive linemen, 2 star receivers, 2 good tight ends, 2 good running backs. And this coaching staff is not going to put up with any nonsense. Like, this is his, third, fourth coach. They're done with the nonsense. A lot of pressure on Baker. And I do think he will deliver to a certain level. We haven't had De'Aaron Fox on. Last time De'Aaron Fox was here, he was in the studio. He wore glasses. He looked like a professor. He was professorial. He's also a great, great player. But there's so many great guards. It's so funny. He was like 26-7. He put up huge numbers, but you got Booker and you got Dame and you got Luka. And I mean, the West is just stacked. Steph Curry's pretty good. It's just incredible. And De'Aaron Fox is now joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. First round pick, number 5 overall out of Kentucky. All right, young man. So here we go. Now you've got, you watch this whole bubble experience. Let's just first talk about this. Were you surprised players have elected to come back and play with the social unrest and the situations going on? Where does that all land for you? Were you surprised they quickly voted to go back and play, De'Aaron?
I would say I was surprised how quickly it came back, but I thought that it would come back. I mean, everybody sees it now. You know, this is they're on a big stage. You know, now that they're playing in the bubble, everybody wants to know what's going on in the bubble. Everybody wants to know what the players are thinking. Obviously the people who disagree are going to say they don't care what the players are thinking, but people want to see what they're saying. So I think it was a good idea to go back into the bubble and continue to play, because now you're still on that big stage. Obviously if you left, you can go to protests and things, but you know, right now there's no bigger stage than being in that bubble right now.
You know, what's interesting, De'Aaron, Joey and I have been saying this. I thought the quality of play was amazing. I think it looks cool. It felt like college. It was the intensity. Were you at all surprised how good the quality of basketball was playing in Florida in front of no fans?
Yeah, man, it's actually crazy. So I didn't play the first 2 scrimmage games. And I'm kind of sitting here like, man, this is weird. I'm like, I'm asking guys, like, how does it feel being out there? Because since I wasn't playing. But they did a great job with the aesthetics. Like, it's kind of like playing in L.A. When you play the Lakers, the court is lit up and the crowd is kind of dark. And that's kind of how it feels like when you're playing there. So, they did a fantastic job with that. And, I think that's why guys have enjoyed playing there. Obviously, you know, the backdrop is a bit different. So some people are shooting a lot better than they did, than they did during the season. But it's actually, I would say, a great experience playing.
Now, it's interesting. You guys had a winning record against the Clippers and a losing record against the Lakers. So let's start with the Clippers. A very deep roster. They have old guys. They got a lot of wings. They got young guys. I think it's the best roster in the NBA. That's my opinion. Yep. But you guys had some success against the Clippers. Why do you think that is?
Every time we played them, I think either one PG or Kawhi were out. But with us, we just tried to get them to play, you know, fast. I think I had good games. Two of the three times we played them, which are the two times we won, one in LA, one in Sacramento. But yeah, I mean, you know, that team, it hasn't been too many times where they've had their entire roster.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's saying something. But I mean, that's a great team. That is a great team. Especially, you know, when they have Kawhi and PG on the floor at the same time. I mean, they're switching everything. All of them can guard the ball. They have two guys that can put the ball in the basket. Well, three that can put the ball in the basket at will, with counting Lou Will. But yeah, I mean, when we played them, someone was always out. I think Kawhi got hurt during warmups one of the times we played them. And I think that hurts them when one of their stars are out.
Now, you had a losing record against the Lakers. The Lakers have enormous – first of all, they have LeBron, but it's a big team. JaVale McGee.
Huge team.
Huge. I mean, they made Portland look like a junior varsity roster because they were so enormous. So did the Lakers' height and size and length, De'Aaron? Did it give you problems?
It did. It definitely did. Actually, I only played the Lakers once because I didn't play them early in the year. We had only played them twice. But yeah, man, like you once you touch the nail, which is, you know, the free throw line area, now you're seeing, you know, AD, either JaVale or Dwight, you know, LeBron still sitting on the wing. Then sometimes, you know, you have a guy like Kuz playing the four, who's 6'9". So yeah, their length on defense alone is mind-boggling, honestly. And then you have LeBron coming down playing point guard. AD's playing the four because he doesn't play the five.
Right.
And yeah, that's a huge team. I think they cause a lot of matchup problems.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I do think the one thing I saw from the Lakers in the bubble is offensively, a lot of questions. Defensively, no questions. They're veterans.
I think KCP started the game. No, Avery Bradley had 20 on us in like the first half, in the first quarter. He didn't miss that game either. So it's different when Avery's hitting, even though he's not in the bubble.
So let's talk about being in the bubble. Sacramento, you guys went 3-5 in the bubble. I was really impressed that the players in one day of negotiating could figure this out. Because, you know, you've been in negotiations for a contract. Negotiations take weeks and months. Baseball guys were screaming and yelling at each other for 60 days. And basketball guys had a day to figure it out. Do you and I said it's pretty commendable because there's a lot of stress going on in these bubbles. You can't see family. Did you? Paul George said he basically unraveled emotionally. Did you sense a little bit of that, De'Aaron? That it is really hard to ask a guy to go play 3,000 miles from home, no family, no friends. Was it ever hard for you?
Oh man. So for me, yeah, with me and my girlfriend, and then me and my friends, like I was always on FaceTime. Like always on FaceTime, having to talk to some, like the people that I usually talk to every day. But yeah, man, it's difficult. Obviously people will sit there and be like, you're getting paid millions to do this, blah, 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 blah. And you know, people don't realize how difficult it is. Obviously, you know, you're playing basketball, your body's getting beat up. You're not seeing your loved ones, you know, every day like you're used to. It's definitely difficult. And we were there for a little over a month. And I was ready to go. Once I realized like we weren't making it, I'm like, man, like I'm ready to get out of here. Obviously, you know, I wish we made the playoffs, but we didn't, and I was ready to go home. It's a difficult thing, and you know, some of those guys, you know, the guys who are going to the finals are going to be there till October.
Yeah,
basically. Yeah, that's difficult. It's definitely difficult being able to do that, but I definitely commend the NBA on what they did, man. It was set up, you know, great, where, you know, the housing was great. Facilities we were using were great. It was, for, especially for this to be the first time, man, I give it an A. You know, it could be better, but they did a fantastic job with it.
Yeah, we Joy and I have said that. We think you can't, nobody's perfect in a pandemic, man. It's airlines.
Yeah, but that, man, that was they did a fantastic job with that. And I think that's why we sit here and say, you know, the NBA is the best league. I think that's why we say that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. De'Aaron Fox joining a Sacramento King point guard, great young player, among many of the great young guards in the NBA, and many of them are out west. You know, I was saying this, is that NBA players are not asking for more money. They're asking for more support from America on an issue they have with law enforcement. And for you, I ask a lot of players this, and I don't even think this is a political issue. I think it's a human issue. I mean, you grow up as a black male in America, and parents have discussions with their children that I didn't have to go through. I wasn't told to be careful. De'Aaron, if you would, for our audience, is the law enforcement issue for you as a young, black, powerful, wealthy young man in America, has it been something you've talked about with friends and dealt with for a long time?
Oh, all the time. It's actually funny. So someone on our training staff, she's Irish. So she's kind of asking, like, you know, what's the problem, you know, with, you know, the police? And one of our rookies who's actually from Florida, he was just saying, like, obviously we all know this, and I don't like when people bring it up, that there are good cops. Like, we all know that. We've all probably been security after school, a cop after school, like, you had a great relationship with them, so you know. But it's like, usually when you have a run-in with the police, you know, it's never something good. It's never a positive. So, but for me, man, like, yes, I'm in the NBA, I have money, but the way I dress outside of, you know, coming to games and doing this, you know, I have a hoodie on, and this is when I had a lot of hair. I had a hoodie on. I usually had my hoodie on, and then I have sweatpants on. So, like, I look like the average 18 to 23-year-old. You don't know that I have, you know, a expensive watch on or expensive chain because I'm probably not wearing it. I'm just being comfortable going to, you know, Walmart or something like that. And, yeah, so people, not only with, you know, police, but just, you know, little small things like, you know, someone checking your receipt. You know, I make X amount of dollars. I go to Walmart, I buy something, you know, they could be three, and it's happened. There could be three, you know, white people in front of me. They all walk by. I probably have more money than them, most likely than not. I probably have more money than them. They walk by, the person doesn't even look at them. Then as soon as I walk, you know, they want to check my receipt, make sure everything is correct in my bag. And I just think that's like little small things. I've never had a, you know, a crazy run-in with the police. So, you know, I'm thankful for that. But there's always just little small things, someone clenching onto something, walking across the street, you kind of see them stop and kind of stare at you while you walk across. It's just little things like that. And it's obviously frustrating, but, you know, some people just don't understand. And I'm happy that I've had, you know, people who aren't black actually ask me those type of questions who are around me, because, you know, some people just truly don't get it. And, you know, it's sometimes it's great that they're asking, you know, genuine questions about it.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the reasons I think the NBA is in such good shape is there's just so many good people. I think you're one of them. I think Damian Lillard, you know, I don't know most of these guys. Steph Curry, I've met. I know Klay Thompson's dad. But it's a great community of kids who love basketball. And some of you want to talk about politics. And I think it's time for guys like me to listen. And I just think you have an unbelievable future. And John Calipari mostly likes me. He gets after me sometimes if I ever criticize a Kentucky Wildcat. But you are such a great face of that program and for the Sacramento Kings. I love having you on. When you're in L.A., when we get through this pandemic, come to our show, sit here. We'd love to have you, promote anything you got. And we just appreciate you coming on the show today.
Oh, no, I appreciate you, man. It's always fantastic. It's always great when I'm on, so thank you.
All right, De'Aaron Fox, Sacramento Kings, just a great player. We don't talk a lot about the Kings. We don't see the Kings and do much in the bubble, but really, really, really great kid. And I don't remember this. So I've been watching the NBA for 40 years. The quality of guards. I mean, Houston's got two of them.
I did think it was interesting because we've been talking about these offensive performances in the bubble, and he kind of mentioned it. The depth perception in there is different.
So it's you have a like dark background.
Yeah, it's almost like you're shooting in a practice gym.
And everybody shoots better at practice.
Right. Like you don't have the, you know, you have the screens or whatever with the virtual fans, but it's, it looks different when you're shooting now. I think that honestly has something to do with
it's just, it's incredible. If you just went guards, you can just, I mean, you can go guards. We don't even talk about Jamal Murray was unbelievable. Devin Booker, De'Aaron Fox. I mean, it's incredible. There's like 20, and even guys that are not what we like yet. Ben Simmons, a 6'10 and a half point, who may be first-team all-defense.
Right. We're just not happy with the amount he's shooting.
Guys we didn't watch in college, Fred VanVleet has become a star. I mean, it's just incredible, the quality of skill. Now, some of it is there's no hand check. So, guys,
right. You
know, let's be honest, you don't get tackled as much. But I do think the quality of ball handlers, guards running these teams, basically the NBA's quarterbacks.
No, the amount of skill is incredible.
I mean, Portland's got a guy from Weber State and Lehigh. I mean, they come from tiny colleges. Steph's from Davidson. I mean, now De'Aaron's from Kentucky, but they come from the Mountain West Conference, Mid-American Conference. Man, the basketball talent among guys who handle the rock is insane right now in the NBA. Bill Polian and some NFL talk around the corner. Herdline News as well with Joy.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight on FS1, Francisco Lindor leads the Indians against Paul Goldschmidt and the Cardinals. It all starts at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Baseball, NBA games are tomorrow. Is that right? I think so. Oh, I'm talking to myself. When it comes to reaching my health goals, it's about changing mindsets and habits. It's about Noom. Go to Noom.com/herd. Get started today. Free trial. Noom.com/herd. Check out the website. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
The NBA and the Players Association released a statement today. They confirmed games will resume on Saturday and outlined their plan for social justice commitments. The league and players will immediately establish a social justice coalition, which will focus on increasing access to voting, promoting civic engagement, and advocating for meaningful police and criminal justice reform. And in every city where the franchise owns and controls the arena property, teams will work with local governments to find election-related uses for their facilities.
Thank you. Bingo.
By using them as voting locations or voter registration and ballot receiving.
Yes, courts. That's the key.
Yes.
Because power is ultimately in the vote in America, and these arenas, a lot of times voting in November, you got a windstorm, it's raining, and you're asking people to stand outside for hours. Open the arenas, let them vote.
Well, also, particularly this year, you know, we have a pandemic, so we want to have voting locations where people can be away from each other. Because if you've ever voted or had to stand in line for voting, it can be a long time. The last time I voted here in California, I had to stand in line for 2 hours, and that was at the mall. there was no social distancing. So it's good that they're having these arenas where everybody can space out and be indoors, as you mentioned. And they will dedicate advertising spots in the remaining playoff games to promote engagement in elections and raise awareness around voter access and opportunity. And as Shams told us earlier in the show, Doc Rivers spoke to the players in the meetings and mentioned that everyone needs to be registered to vote.
Yes.
LeBron has a whole voter initiative as well. So I think voting will be one of the main issues, other than obviously police brutality and social justice reform, that we'll be hearing over the next couple months from the NBA specifically, because obviously it's an election year and this is something that they have decided to mutually work together on. I think it's great that they're using the facilities, though. Like, that's an obvious, easy solve from the owners. If you own and operate the facility,
it's needed.
It is, because voter suppression is a big issue in our country.
It's a huge issue.
The bigger the facility, the more access people have to these facilities, and obviously a lot of these parks and arenas have public transportation that already has a route to them, because they want to bring in fans when everything is open. So it's actually very accessible for people, even for you know, older people who don't necessarily want to leave their house to vote. It can be safer for them to be there as well. So that's great. So several NFL teams decided to cancel practices yesterday to continue the conversation of social justice. And one of those teams was the Cardinals. Cliff Kingsbury said that they made a decision so players could use the day to help make the change they want to see. Those that did choose to practice still found ways to make a statement. The Saints wore Jacob Blake details on the front of their helmets. And Cowboys coach Mike McCarthy said that while sports are often used as an escape, there's no escaping what's going on right now, and that it's important to keep energy and focus on these issues because things need to change. The Cowboys specifically talking about it, I think, is very interesting because Jerry Jones has been kind of noticeably quiet over the past couple months about everything. You know, he said he's just listening, and,
right. You
know, this is obviously a conversation that everyone is having, and now we're moving into NFL season. So, you know, how much of this is going to be seen in the NFL? I think it's going to be a lot because this is obviously, as Mike McCarthy said, it's not going anywhere. But again, as we were talking earlier, obviously sports is an escape, right? It's entertainment.
Right.
We're on television. It's mostly a television product, which is why we wanted to get games on the air. We know that. We love sports. I love sports. I've watched sports my entire life.
Right.
But I've also never disassociated sports from human beings.
Right.
Now, maybe that's because I played sports myself or my brothers played sports, so I see the human elements of sports. But I think sometimes with entertainment, and look, movies and whatever else, like that's a different thing, right? This is a prepackaged product and story that's delivered to you. If you don't like violence, you don't have to watch violent movies. You can watch comedies. Sports isn't like that. You have to understand these are human beings.
Well, by the way, I've grown up my whole life. I've seen teachers go on strike. I've seen in New York, you have sanitation strikes. You have strikes all over America.
Transportation strikes.
Now, often it's for money and advantages. Players don't need the money, but they're having their own strike on help us in our community. So the idea these spoiled athletes are, they're not asking for more money. It's most people in America, when you boycott or you strike, it's a financial issue. That is not theirs. And I also get tired of that. Well, they make a bunch of money. So do attorneys. A lot of people make a lot of money.
A lot of people make a lot of money. And then we ask people who make a lot of money to give back to the community. That's the whole point.
Yeah, of having the influence of money.
Of getting money. You're just going to hoard it all for yourself. You ever watch Scrooge? That's the moral of the story. But I think to your point yesterday, you know, what do we want athletes to be?
Right.
Do we want them to be Scrooges and make all their money and go off into their castles and ignore the rest of the community?
Or do we want them to care about the poorer communities and the cities in which they live?
Boom. Also, and I think this is important because obviously race conversations make people uncomfortable because it is an uncomfortable conversation to have if you don't understand it, if you haven't lived it, and maybe the way you were raised makes you resistant to it. But remove all of that. Sports and sports franchises are such huge parts of the community.
Oh, yeah.
Think of just the Saints. Think of the Mercedes-Benz Dome during Katrina.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have existed there if it wasn't for the Saints. Like what that organization did for that community. That's a social issue.
By the way, that was
the city in shambles.
Green Bay Packers are the economy.
Right.
It's a factory. Everybody wears cleats. That's what it is. So these sports franchises are linchpins economically. Ohio State University. It is the economy of Columbus, like, overwhelmingly.
They can literally be the heartbeat of the community. So if the community is saying we need help, of course sports should be involved. They're involved in almost every aspect of the community to begin with.
What sports teams have always worked, suites and season tickets. You know, local businesses buy, sometimes they don't even go to the games, they buy it to support them. So a sports team is just a gigantic, fluid business in a community, and it's always been more than just about the games. If you live in Los Angeles, Dodger players and Laker players are all over the city doing things non-athletic.
As they should.
Lakers have been involved in so many school programs in Los Angeles for 40 years.
Imagine if they didn't. Imagine if they just played
and had their money and drove off to their nice house.
Right. Finally, the Dolphins can't wait for Tua to take over at quarterback, but he's going to be waiting behind Ryan Fitzpatrick when the season starts. Pro Football Focus ranked the top backups in the league.
Right.
And Tua came in at 8th. How do you like this list? So it's Jameis Winston, number one, Marcus Mariota, Andy Dalton, Mitch Trubisky, Matt Schaub, Nick Mullins of San Francisco, Joe Flacco in New York, Tua, Case Keenum in Cleveland, and RG3 in Baltimore.
I think it's, I haven't given it a bunch of thought. I think it's probably, Jameis is the most talented. I can't name probably four or five teams' backups.
Right. So this is kind of like the list of celebrity or like most well-known backups, because obviously you've seen enough of them to know what they're capable of.
I would probably put Andy Dalton ahead of Marcus Mariota.
I would do that as well, and I'd probably move Case Keenum up a little bit as well.
God, I've been nice to Joe Burrow and Andy Dalton today.
I know.
Well, I'm going on vacation.
Yeah, it's Friday.
I'm in a good mood.
You gotta be a little nicer these days. I'm with Jacoby Brissett. Came in at 11.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
Yeah.
Enjoy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Hall of Fame NFL exec Bill Polian next. Jordan Love is apparently not great. Has Bill ever drafted a player and knew known immediately? Ooh, we may have made a mistake with our draft pick. They say Jordan Love in Green Bay is having real problems. That's next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Important these days to create something that can be an escape. I did it with Lowe's, my bar cart. Get inspired. Do it yourself at Lowe's.com. It is interesting. There's a story today on Jordan Love. He's who the Packers drafted first round. They didn't need a quarterback. They've got one, but they drafted him. And there's a story here, quote, Jordan Love hasn't fallen down the quarterback depth chart. He was already at the bottom of it. Jordan Love has yet to even provide a glimpse as to why the Packers traded up to draft him. Not even a glimpse. Nobody expected him to take the world by storm in his first nine practices. But every throw he makes seems like a touch pass, and he's had accuracy issues early on. Not even a glimpse. Wow. Bill Polian now, Hall of Famer, 32 years in the NFL, scout executive, is joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. So, Bill, I read the story on Jordan Love struggling, and I think to myself, it's nine practices, settle down, don't overreact. But as an executive, you've had draft picks. The reason you're in the Hall of Fame is most of them were good. Have you ever gone to an initial camp and thought, we may have made a mistake after eight or nine practices, and thought, I may have reached on somebody?
Yeah, it happens. It happens from time to time. And, when it does, you just you stay with the guy, especially with a quarterback. You give him every opportunity to succeed. This is a quarterback that wasn't ready to come out anyway. Came out early. He's far from the finished product. So you won't know until 3 years from now whether or not this kid has a chance to be a winning quarterback in the National Football League. It's far too early to give up on him now.
Bill, there's no training camp, no OTA, no exhibition season. So I've said on the air repeatedly, let's be fair with some of these young quarterbacks. Joe Burrow is going to struggle. He doesn't have the help. That division's very, very talented defensively. What would you need to see, Bill, to say, even if he goes 3-13, what would you need to see and feel like, no, this is going to work?
For a rookie quarterback of any stripe, first rounder or free agent, doesn't matter. Once they're playing, they're all the same. What you want to see are three things. You want to be able to see him command the offense. Does he know the offense? Can he call it? Does he understand what you're trying to do? You want to see him command the huddle. You want to see him step into the huddle and say, okay, here we go, guys. This is what we're going to call. Boom, 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 boom. Take charge. You can see that on the practice field as well as you can see it on the game field. And then finally, you want to see improvement from week to week. You want to see the arrow going up from week to week. Even though it may be infinitesimal from week to week, you still want it on the upturn. So that at the end of the season, you can say, look, the guy commands the huddle. He understands the offense. He's got a feel for what it's like to play in the National Football League, and now we'll put him in the offseason program and help him make another big jump. Just the arrow up at the end of the year.
If you were a GM, and let's say you're a team like Miami, and you're eight games into a season, and you're 3-5, you're good, but you're not special yet. It's still a rebuild there. Do you stay with a Fitzpatrick? Do you go with a Tua? Are these conversations you have with the head coach, or do you let the coach make those decisions if you have like a first-round quarterback with a lot of hype?
Well, ultimately, it's the coach's decision. There's no two ways about that. But you should have, before you drafted him, sat down and worked through this. and said, okay, if he comes in like the normal rookie quarterback and we're 2-6 and going nowhere, are we going to put him in the lineup and let him take his lumps for the last 8 games? Or would you rather have him sit for 12 games and then we put him in for the last 4? That should have been discussed at the time that you drafted him, and I suspect it was. Brian Flores doesn't make many mistakes. So I presume that they've made that decision, and it will depend on how far Tua grows from week to week. But at some level, they've decided when he's going to be in there.
You know, it's interesting. People years ago, I read a story that Aaron Rodgers' arm actually got better 3 years behind Brett Favre. Like, there was arm improvement. I always thought that was kind of, you either had an arm or you didn't, but it got better. And it's interesting. Let's talk about maturity and judgment. I think that stuff is mostly formed when you're 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. Baker has shown immaturity. Is that something in your history that an immature player, a player that struggles with some social things, that they can improve over time, that they do mature once in the league? Is it possible?
Yeah, it's possible. Let's make sure when we talk about Baker that we're talking about the same thing. Don't confuse personality and character. A guy's personality is what it is. Personalities come in all shapes and sizes. And don't confuse personality with mastery of the position. What you just saw is a mistake. It resulted in an open receiver catching a touchdown pass, but he doesn't need to bail out that early. And he bails out repeatedly. He did last year and he did the year before. That's not personality. That's mastering his craft, learning to stay in the pocket, learning to deliver the ball, learning that he doesn't have to go running out of there and throwing it down the field and hoping to get a 50-50 ball, which oftentimes ends up being an interception. So that stuff he's got to learn. And can he learn it? Yeah. But it's an uphill struggle because those are habits that he developed at the college level. And I don't know if he can break it.
What do you think about Joe Burrow as a prospect? What did you think about him?
Oh, I loved him. I liked his accuracy. I liked the fact that he was a coach's son. I liked the fact that he had command. I liked the fact that he was very, very cool under pressure. He played with a great team, obviously, but so what? I mean, you know, in the end, you got to have good players around you. So I think he was an outstanding prospect. Now, he's going to struggle this year because he's with a group of guys that really many are new and many are not good enough. And, you know, it's been the program suffered a lot of erosion since Marvin Lewis left. But yeah, the bottom line is he'll struggle, but I think he's a really good prospect.
And finally, expectations for Cam. We got a minute left. What are your expectations? They had 8 guys opt out. They don't have a ton of speed on the perimeter, Bill. They don't have a lot of game breakers. What's reasonable for Cam this year?
Well, if he wins the job, I presume he'll do well. Josh McDaniels had Tebow in Denver. He can construct an offense that's Cam friendly, if you will. And that being the case, all you need is people who can catch the ball because he'll get it there and he'll stress the defense so much that he's going to get people open almost by default. So, you know, because you can't turn your back on him as a defensive back. You almost have to play facing him all the time. So that gives him a huge advantage. I think he'll be okay and never write off a Bill Belichick team. Never.
Yeah. All right, Bill. Great seeing you. Thanks as always on a Friday. You have a good weekend.
My pleasure, buddy. Nice seeing you.
Bill Polian. He's got a podcast, Inside Football with Bill Polian, 6-time exec of the year. Yeah, that's an interest. His last comment's interesting. When you play Cam and quarterbacks that can run, you have to watch them. So it changes coverages. It's hard to go man-to-man when you face Cam because you turn on Cam and he decides to run. Something we don't talk about a lot is athletic quarterbacks, Lamar Jackson. There's just certain defenses you can play against Lamar. And I think football over time has evolved. We've figured stuff out. It's like basketball. It took us a while, but basketball figured out we need to shoot more threes. It's a math equation that if you hit 37% on threes, it's better than 41% on twos. Baseball now, strikeouts are no big deal. Analytics are like, it's okay. You can strike out. What you don't want is ground balls. Those are two outs potentially. And in football, we're figuring out the mobile quarterback really limits certain things defensive coordinators can do. The Lawnmower 3.0 skin-safe technology, free shipping, 20% off. It's called Manscaped.com, code HERD. Manscaped.com, code H-E-R-D. It's a grooming tool for men and the very best. Hour 3 is coming up.